The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The Bible is God's word. The Bible is the standard. It is the standard because it is God's word. There is no higher authority than the Bible because nothing is higher than God. So the Bible is the highest court of appeal when it comes to religious matters. When we look at any question of morals and religion, the Bible is the ultimate and the final standard of authority to decide. Now, this is obvious. This is simple. But most people don't respect it. Even when they say that the Bible is God's word, they still turn to other sources for their answers. Some people look to religious traditions, and they follow religious traditions over the Bible. And so if their denominational doctrine conflicts with the Bible, then they will follow their denominational teaching rather than the Scriptures. There are other people that follow their feelings. And so if they feel like doing something, even though the Bible says not to do it, then they will do it and they will try to justify themselves in the process. They will try every way in the world to convince you and convince themselves that they're doing what's right. They're following their feelings rather than the Scriptures. There are other people that follow the majority of people. And so if most people around them believe a certain thing, then they tend to follow those people, regardless of what the Bible says. And sometimes, sadly, regardless of what their own conscience says. So they follow the majority. They follow the crowd. And most people usually follow what they want and what they desire. And so if they want to do something, or if they want to believe something, they will try to justify that belief or justify that action, even if the Bible says that it's wrong. And so if they have to pick between what they want on the one hand and what the Bible says on the other hand, they will pick what they want. They will go with what they desire and leave the Bible behind. Now, I'm talking about people that will look at you and tell you that they believe the Bible is from God. When it comes right down to it, they really don't respect the Bible's authority over their lives. So when people follow their traditions, their feelings, the majority, or just what they want, they're following the standards of men, and these standards settle absolutely nothing. If we truly let the Bible speak, then these issues that we confront from day to day are going to be truly settled and finally settled. It reminds me of a bumper sticker that you may have seen that reads, "God said it, and that settles it." Years ago, a similar bumper sticker said, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." And then the middle part was struck out, which says, "I believe it." Because when God says something, it is true, and that settles it, regardless of whether we believe it or not. So the Bible does tell us in Psalm 119, verse 89, the kind of attitude that we should have. It shows us the kind of respect that we ought to show toward the Bible. And that is, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, there's no better example of somebody who revered the authority of the Bible than Jesus Christ. And so let's turn to the book of Matthew in this lesson, and we're going to see Jesus' view of the authority of the Bible. And you'll see this, of course, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I want to go to the book of Matthew because there are several questions. There are several issues that are brought before Jesus. And I want you to notice that every time that one of these controversies or questions is brought to Jesus, he uses the Bible. He goes to the Scriptures. And so we begin in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And so the question is this. Did Jesus have the right to eat a meal with these sinners? Was that right or was it wrong? So how are we going to decide? Well, if you ask the Jews, they would appeal to their rabbis, they would appeal to their traditions, or they would just tell you, well, here's what I think about it, here's my opinion, or here's how I feel about this. You know, too many times in Bible classes today, you have a teacher that will ask the question, well, what is your feeling about this Bible question? What do you think about this Bible word? And that gets the discussion going in the direction of everybody giving his feeling or his opinion about whatever it is that's brought up. Folks, what we need to do with any Bible question is to go to the Bible, because what you think and what I think, what you feel and what I feel, what your opinion is or what my opinion is does not settle the matter, but God's Word does. So these Jews were prone to do what a lot of people do today, and that is they would follow their feelings and their thinking and their traditions and their opinions rather than going back to the Bible and saying, well, what does the Bible say about that? What does God teach us about that issue? So the issue is it right to eat a meal with sinners? Well, in verse 12, the Bible says, when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, Jesus goes straight back to the Bible, and he quotes Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. So what was Jesus' way of settling this issue? It was going to the Bible to see what the Scriptures taught about it. Well, let's turn next to Matthew chapter 12, the book of Matthew chapter 12. And here we have again a case where the Jewish leaders are criticizing Jesus' disciples. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. So the question was, if you've got a person who is hungry, and I mean legitimately, really hungry, on the Sabbath day, and he's walking through a field of grain, would it be all right for him, because he's hungry, to pluck off some of those grains and to rub them in his hands and eat them? Well, the Pharisees said, no, that's not right. That would be a sin. Well, let's see what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Now, we don't have time to go into why Jesus quoted all these sections. What I do want us to notice, though, is that Jesus uses the Bible to answer this issue. He doesn't say, well, what do the rabbis say about this? Or how do you feel about it? Or maybe we can ask the disciples here what their opinion about it is. He didn't do that at all. He said, if this matter is going to be settled, then we're going to have to go back to the Bible. And he did in three different places in Matthew chapter 12. Well, let's look at a few more examples. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, and here the Pharisees ask Jesus about a question which is still common today, and that is, what about divorce? What does the Bible say about divorce and remarriage? And so in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away, that is, divorce his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So they asked Jesus about divorce, and what is the first thing that he does? He goes all the way back to the beginning. He goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Now, when they kept pressing him about divorce and what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, and they wanted to know the answer. Can you divorce your wife for any cause, or what are the reasons why you can divorce? Is there one or many? And so Jesus gave the answer in verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now you see, if people today, and if churches today, if elders and preachers today did what Jesus is doing in all these passages, you'd have a whole lot less trouble. You'd have a whole lot more people hearing the truth. But today, when people ask this same question, when they ask preachers, when they ask elders, when they ask somebody that they work with, that they know goes to church on a regular basis, well, what do you think about divorce? Then that person says, well, here's what I think. Well, here's what I feel about it. Well, here is what our denomination teaches or says about this. Why don't people just go back to the Bible, you see? What we ought to do is to do what Jesus did. We ought to say, well, here's what the Lord says about it. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus said that there's one cause for divorce and remarriage, and that is the sin of fornication. Well, in Matthew chapter 22, you find two other examples here where some people ask Jesus a question, and he goes back to the Bible. In Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 23, the Sadducees ask him about life after death. And what did Jesus do? Well, he took them back to Exodus chapter 3. He used the Bible to settle the issue. And then when they ask him in verse 34 and 35 about what is the great commandment in the law, that is, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses, what did he do again? He went back to the Bible in verse 37 through 39. So this was the attitude of Jesus. And it ought to be our attitude today. When people ask us a religious question, or when we talk to people about a religious issue, we ought to refer to the Bible, because the Bible will settle these issues that it speaks on. And the authority of the Bible is one of the most basic of all subjects, because if we can't start and agree there, then we're not really going to be able to settle anything. We're just going to be swapping opinions. So let us hold to the word that is forever settled in heaven.